Alright, you ready for the word?
Yeah.
I think this is such a, it's funny but not funny because God works like this, but with what's happened and with family and friends here today, I just pray this word really blesses you. I want it to bless my whole church, but I just really feel this is a divine timing word for you today to be comforted in the season that you'll find yourselves in. So I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's verses 13 to 17. I'm going to have the scriptures on the screen as well, but if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. You got it? If you're looking for it? Getting there? Slowly. That's all right. I got heaps of time. All right, I'm going to read. Verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if you speak, people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. So Heavenly Father, I pray for the word today that you would speak through me, Lord, that it would bring peace and comfort to our hearts. Lord, that it would even lift our heads and encourage us that we may leave this place more encouraged, more full of life, more desire to want to continue to serve you than when we walked in. So Lord, transform us by the power of your word, because it is transformational. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're talking about hope. Now, the person who wrote this book, his name is Peter. We know that because the book's called?
Peter.
Well, I know, that's full deep, isn't it? Everyone's just transformed by the power of the word right there. Peter is known for denying Jesus, not once, not twice, but
thrice.
Three times a lady, if you know the song. Three times he let Jesus down. Three times he turned his back on him. Three times he, you know, took his name in vain, disassociated himself with him. Three times. If someone did that to you three times, would you still love them? You want to give him a bit of a... No, we don't endorse that in our church, but that's what you'll feel on the inside, right? You're like, I just want to give him a... bit of a whatcha, you know, because they're not being nice. But even though Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus still loved him. Just let that sink in for a moment. How many times have we let Jesus in? How many times have we sinned and made a bad choice, or done the wrong thing, something that we're ashamed of, something that we wish we didn't do? The word of the Lord for you today is that Jesus still loves you. No matter what you do, Jesus Amen. Loves you. Jesus even tells him, he tells Peter, you're going to blow it. You're going to mess up. Peter's like, no, I'm not. Sounds like our kids. Sorry, no. You've got to be careful when you disagree with God. Be very careful. Here's how good God is. This is how good he is. Even though God knew he was going to give up on him and deny him three times and blow it, he knew that that was all going to come. God never gave up on him. God doesn't give up on you. And your parents don't give up on you, just in case you're wondering. Peter's writing this book to encourage people who are undergoing persecution, people who have scattered from their homeland. And they're going through difficult times, really difficult times. You know, we stub our toe and we think, oh, what was me? These guys have been displaced. They've had to move from their traditional home. But Peter writes this letter for the primary purpose to give them hope. To give them hope. And we've talked about hope quite a lot. And we've defined hope. Who remembers what we define hope as? Hope is the expectation of something good that's about to happen. That's hope. When you hang on to hope, it's like, look, I might be in a difficult season. It might be challenging right now. Everything's coming against me, and I just feel so sad and depressed. But hope is knowing that it's going to turn around. Yeah. That God's still believing in a God that still has the ability to turn your life around from sadness to joy. To turn your life around from victim to victor. To turn your life around from sadness to happiness. God wants to fill your life with hope. He's the God of hope. Why? Because Jesus died and everyone was depressed, but God knew the plan. 3 days later, rose again victorious, conquered sin and death. And now we have a way. What a privilege for us to have fellowship with God. Don't have to go to a big priest anymore and bring in the sheep and do all of that stuff. Now you can just freely come to a church like this. You can even do it in your own home and seek the Lord, and he will hear you and he will comfort you. How cool is that? We can only do that because Jesus went before us. So God is the God of hope. He gives us that hope. And no matter how difficult a situation is, we are believing as a church that God still has the power to make good things come out of bad situations. Now, people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? It's a hard question to tackle. But the truth is, God brings you out through the bad times into a season of mountaintop. You don't have to live your whole life in the valley. There's mountaintops as well. So I want to talk to you today about hope in difficult times. And for many in the room, it's a difficult time. We acknowledge that. But difficult times come. I wish I could tell you that you give your life to Jesus and everything is, you know, hunky-dory, roses, happy and green, everything's fine. But that's not the life that we lead. Seasons happen, right? Dry seasons, wet seasons, mountaintops and valleys. We often think as Christians that if we go through a difficult time, that we must be out of the will of God. And that is so unbiblical. I want to come against that today. If you've ever spoken that over yourself, or if anyone's ever said that to you, just say, get behind me, Satan, because it's a lie from the enemy. All of a sudden, you're not in the will of God because something bad happens. Come on. So Peter asks a question in the scripture. Who is going to persecute you for doing the right thing? What he's doing is he's letting the reader know that doing the right thing may bring about trouble. Particularly today, I mean, look at Christians in the world standing for their faith and the persecution they get. Last month, our one thing for our mission support was supporting Open Doors, and they support the persecuted church worldwide. But people who stand for their faith these days, they're doing the right thing, but gee, they're copying it. Does that mean they're out of the will of God because bad things are happening? That's where it's, I want to refute that today. When you do the wrong thing may happen. Don't get discouraged because you have circumstances that come up in life and they come up even though you do nothing wrong. I could list all the bad things that have happened to Anita and I since moving to Stanville. Moving to Stanville was the best thing we ever did. We love this place. We love this church. Our kids have grown up here and our kids are awesome because they grew up here. We just love Stanville. But man, we've had some bad stuff happen. And I'm not going to go through all this today, but those of you that know us know that we've been through a lot in 11 years that we've been here. But we're not going to get discouraged because the wrong things happened, even though we haven't done anything wrong to deserve that. God never promises to keep us from difficult times, but he promises to keep us in the midst of difficult times. He doesn't keep you from them, but as you go through them, he will keep you. He will comfort you, he'll sustain you, he'll give you whatever it is that you need. Man, I've had a week of it. I want to tell you about a difficult time. Want to hear about my difficult time?
Not really.
Not really. Well, see, there's the door there. Everyone else wants to hear my difficult time. Not last Thursday, but the Thursday before. So, back about a week and a half from your studies, isn't it? I went to the dentist. Who loves the dentist? I went to the dentist and it was just my routine, you know, who goes once a year? Do you do the right thing? Go once a year and get a checkup, and everyone's feeling this guilty shifting in the chairs. Now he's like, no, dude, it's been a while since I've been to the dentist. Anyway, my annual checkup. And I've done it every year since I've been here for 11 years. Same dentist. Anyway, my usual dentist, God bless her, has had a baby. And so she's out having a break. And that's all good. So I see this other dentist, and I'm not going to name because So you can be like, we never tell. There's a few dental clinics in town, all right? So you don't know what I'm talking about.
What?
I'm not warning you. Come and see me personally later. I'm not gonna, I'm getting filmed. This is like, it's going viral. Like, don't go to this place because of this guy. Anyway, oh, I said it's good. Anyway. So I had, obviously, a male dentist take the place of my usual dentist. Anyway, we're just doing the routine things. And then he looks at my record and goes, oh, it's been 2 years since you've had an x-ray. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Because I know they do them every couple of years just to check that everything's, you know, all good. So they did the x-ray. And then he points out, not a lot, but a few little dots where he goes, you know what, there's some plaque under your gum and whatever. So it's going to have to be a really deep clean today. And I was like, oh, that doesn't sound very friendly at all. And normally when I get a clean at the dentist, I probably pay about, I really shouldn't say, should I? About $150 or something like that. So to get a clean and a checkup and do all that. X-rays are probably a bit more than that, actually, when I think about it. But anyway, that's what I normally do. Anyway, he's got me in the chair. And don't you love it how dentists do this? He goes, oh, okay, so we need to do a deep clean. And he starts plugging things in. Oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, it's going to be like $600. Oh, that's too expensive. And he goes, all right, well, we can bring it down to, and it's like, makes out like he's doing a deal, $469. And I was like, it's like three times the amount I normally pay. What do you do when you're in the chair? Like, I can't say, oh, no, I won't worry about that today, thanks. Just put my teeth rock to whatever. So, of course, I said, okay, well, we've just got to do it, let's do it. Anyway, he did it. So, I mean, those of you that love dentists, he's like going hardcore. Like, it's not like a normal thing. He's like right in there. And my wife will tell you, and I'm not bragging, but I do have high pain tolerance, so I can cop a fair bit of pain. And so he was actually amazed. Like, normally they could gel or numb you with a needle and all that. I'm just like, nah, I've skipped, I'm mate. So he's like, and I'm just there. You know when you sit and you try and divert the pain attention by like pinching yourself or something? So I'm like doing this to my hand. You know, because it was paining. Like, it was, you know, I was so close to tapping out and saying numb me. But anyway, I went through it. And I know it was hardcore because, you know, when you finish, you get up and you rinse, and like your rinse, like it was red. Like there was like a whole lot of blood action going on. What's that?
This is good.
Yeah, I know it's good. That's why I'm not saying which dental clinic it is, because there's two. I know there's at least two. There might be a third one. I'm not sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter who it is. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Someone's back out. That's right. I sold my kidney to get my dental work done. No, I can do that. Anyway, so we did all that, and then I left, and obviously pain the next day, hurting, whatever, but, you know, he did warn me of that, so just manage it with Panadol and Nurofen, and it'll come good later. Anyway, by the weekend, it was getting worse, and I was actually here on last Sunday, pretending I was all right, but I really wasn't. You know, I needed to have that word to pray for someone, and I'm like, yeah, it's me, pray for me, please, because my side of my face was like, it wasn't pain like to touch, but you know when things get into your nerves, and it's like tender. You touch it and it's just really weird. That's what I had, and I was really inflamed out here. And I was going on. Anyway, so I went back on Monday. It's taking a while, but it's a good story. Then I went back on Monday and saw the dentist again. And I said, look, I think what's happened is you have smashed me so hard that my gums are inflamed, which they were, especially on the bottom here, and they come over my teeth because they're so inflamed. And because of that, there's like a flap. You know what I'm talking about? Because the gums are inflamed. And so then when I eat, because I've still got to eat, I can't not eat, some food particles get stuck under the gum, right? And that causes or makes worse any infection that's going on. Because you can't brush under that. Like, it's like I couldn't touch it with my tongue without squealing like a wee, it hurt. So he says to me, I've already said it to you, so that's all right. He says to me, oh, the reason this is happening is because you're biting down on it. And I went, bro, I didn't say that. I thought, bro, I said, there is so much pain in those areas. I haven't touched those areas. I can't even brush or floss like they're telling me to because it's so painful. But he wouldn't, just the kind of personality was, nah, it's you. And he didn't want to own any of the issues. So then what he does, numbs me up with a needle tube, goes in again. And like, even with the numbing and the drilling, And the numbing and the needle, it hurt worse than Thursday when I went without anything. It hurt worse because it was already so hurt. And he just smashed me again. And then I thought, okay, thank you, done. Went to walk out. And how many of you know, when you go to like a follow-up thing, normally they don't charge. So I went to walk out and go, oh, hang on, come here. $169 for the privilege of more pain. So right now I've spent $600 plus for them to hurt me. So I had to keep reminding myself I'm a pastor and be nice because they smashed me. Like it hurt so bad. Oh, anyway, Monday. I get to Wednesday and it's still cutting. But he also prescribed me antibiotics, so that's good to deal with the infection. So that helped. Just the pain, just so. And I just wanted strong pain relief. And I tried to contact them, and then I found out apparently, and I don't know, I haven't Googled, I kind of Googled to try and find out, you know, Google Doctor. But apparently dentists can't prescribe full-on pain medication. I don't know if it's totally true. I've read some things contrary to that. Anyway, I'm not upset about it. But I couldn't get any pain relief from them. They would not help me. They said, I'll just take your regular Panadol and Nurofen. And I'm like, I'm taking 100 and it's doing nothing. I didn't take 100. But it was just so. Anyway, we contacted some friends in the church and did some drug deals and we're all good.
This is your
They were legal drugs. I just didn't have a prescription to get them myself, but they were stronger Panadol. Not. Anyway. You know what I'm saying. So, pastor took marijuana. I didn't do that. Anyway, dealt with it. By Wednesday, it only improved marginally, so I thought, I'm going to contact my old dentist, who I have contact with, even though she's had a baby. And I just said, I'm going to double him. And I just said, look, I don't know if it's going to make any difference or anything, but this is what's happened to me. Well, I did the whole spiel and I shared with you. And she wrote back, she's like, I'm telling you, the head dentist is not going to be happy with this. Can I have your permission to share it with her? And I'm like, sure. Anyway, she rings me back. The head dentist rings me within a couple of minutes, like, it's super fast. Which is a miracle because head dentist is always busy. This person's really nice. And they rang me and then basically said, look, what's happened to you? I'm disgusted with. I'll be talking to that dentist and sort him out. And I'm going to give you a refund. So not all my money, but what I should have spent because she felt that it was, I said, she's she. Now I'm giving you little clues. But yeah, she's. Yeah. No names. She gave me a refund of what I should have paid, and so I was happy with that. And now she's going to look after me from now on. She's great. I like it. So we're going to be all good from now on. But what a week I've had. Like that pain. Who's had dental pain before? Like in here? It's so invasive because you can't get away from it. It's like earaches as well. It's kind of like right there. But it was just a shocking, terrible week, and I had a nasty. So how many of you know that I could be one angry dude? Because of the pain. Like, you can get super bitter and just annoyed and whatever. But, you know, you people in the room understand, if you've ever endured such a terrible experience like that, because it was terrible, I'm being honest, I was not very happy for a good week. It was just painful, just asking you. But if you've had pain or an injury or sickness or lost a loved one, have you ever been in those situations and you've asked God, why? I stood on this pulpit and got prayed for last Sunday. God, why didn't it just go away? And if God doesn't answer the question right away, you know what the devil does? He tries to sneak in and he tries to answer it for you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't think you're worthy to be healed. God doesn't think you deserve it. All these lies from the enemy, that's what the enemy does. And if God doesn't answer, the enemy comes in and answers for him. And it's by manipulating you. So many people have turned away from the church of God because of things like this, but the enemy's gotten in and said, they don't care about you. They don't give a rip about you. The devil takes you to a place of doubt where you become angry and bitter towards God. I could have very well have done that this past week because I was annoyed. Praise God I didn't. I'm here today to testify he's good. But how many people get bitter and angry because they do something right? I did the right thing. I went to the dentist for my annual checkup. I did nothing wrong. And I got smashed and hammered. And the wrong thing happened to me. Do I get angry at God about that? Of course not. Don't let the enemy get you to look at people's actions against you, but continue to look at the God who is for you. I could get so bitter and angry at that dental person. But I won't. Because I'm looking to God for his provision. And I'm not going to be bitter and angry towards that person. And I think it's as you get older. Like, would you agree with me? Like, when you were a teenager, did you think 30 was old? Let's be real. Let's be real.
Yeah.
You're a teenager and you got 30. They're so old. Don't you think that? Why are you laughing so hard? Because you agree, girl? Now, I know when I was a teenager, I thought 30. But now I hit 30. I thought, gee, 40's old. And then you hit 40 and you think, gee, 40, 50's old. You don't feel old when you're there. I'm 48 this year. I'm like, 50, gee, that's not old. That's not old. Gee, 60's old, isn't it? I think as you get older, the more you realise that the longer you walk with Jesus, the more you realise that, yes, there are difficult times in your past. And maybe when you're younger, you think, oh, I've dealt with that difficult time. I'm moving on to the green pastures and everything's going to be great. But I think the longer that you walk with Jesus and you get those difficult times behind you and you overcome and you conquer, wisdom starts to teach you that life and all its challenges do continue to be ahead of you. I'd love to tell any of you that you reach a certain age and nothing bad's going to happen to you anymore. But that's just not how life is. Ask someone who's 80. The difference in 85, exactly, 85. Go have any events in 85, 86. I reckon Ross is the wisest person in the room. Yeah. Anyway. The difference is that with age, you learn with age, wisdom, maybe some grey hairs, and all that, that God is with you and keeping you in the challenge. He is with you no matter what comes against you. And I think the older you get, the more you lean into that, the more you start to trust. And don't forget that God will reward you. All things work together for good for those who love Jesus. So if you're in a bad spot right now, good stuff's coming. That's the hope. That's the having faith, knowing that God still turns things around today for you. Even if you're persecuted for doing something right, like going to the dentist and getting smashed, God will take care of it. I got my refund. I've got the best dentist looking after me.
The
head dentist, the boss.
Not the apprentice dentist.
And I reckon in the future I might even not pay as much because they were really disappointed about what I was charged, and that I was charged on the Monday when I went back. I should never have been charged. So they were annoyed. Anyway, God will reward you for your hope and faith that you have in Him. Don't get caught up in the problems, but get caught up in the promise God has given that He is with you. Amen? He is with you no matter what you're facing, no matter what difficulty has come against you or tragic loss, all these things. It's sad for a moment, but we comfort each other and love each other, knowing that God is going to bring and turn it around and make things for good. Amen? Amen. You've got to learn to trust the right person. Trust Jesus. Trust the right person. Don't get into deals with others in a way to try and manipulate a situation for your good. Only trust Jesus. Only do deals with Him. Because He's God. We want to look at verse 14 again where it says, But even if you suffer for doing what is right, going to the dentist, God will reward you with a refund. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. I don't think he's tried to come to my house earlier. It's all good. But I want to shift gears. I want to just go to the prophet Isaiah. It said some amazing words that we can all learn from when we're facing difficult times. Chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Got it on the screen there. Isaiah 8. 11 to 12 says, "The Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does," he said. So don't think like the world. See, the world, here's me again, dentist, sorry. The world would say, right, you need to just bring the fire, bring the thunder to that dentist and have him sacked and don't stop until you cancel him out and smash him. And that's what the world would do. But don't think like everyone else does, he says. Don't call everything a conspiracy. The dentists are after me. They know I'm a pastor. They want to drill me so hard that I can't speak the word of God. That's what's going on around here. Every dentist is onto it. Do you know? I saw it on YouTube. There was a video. Someone said that all the dentists are rallying against the people of God. Haven't you seen that video? You get what I'm doing. Don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. And don't live in dread of what frightens them. See, King Ahaz was getting spoken to by the prophet Isaiah. King Ahaz of Judah was in mega trouble. Let's just put it that way. Everyone was coming to destroy what he was king over. He was in trouble. He was facing a crisis from the Assyrian army. How many people here say Assyrian army? So what happened was King Ahaz was approached by the king of Israel and Syria, who wanted to do a deal. Like, let's be in alliance, let's be buddies, and let's take out the Assyrians together. So that they approached him for this deal. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that, my daughter's shocked that I'm saying Assyrian. I think Nate's shocked too. I'm in so much trouble. Anyway. King Ahaz had actually secretly made a deal with the Assyrians. With the Assyrians. He'd already made a deal basically with the devil. And here's the prophet Isaiah saying, don't think like the world thinks, and don't just go, oh, you think they're the most powerful, let's go make a deal with them. He should have done a deal with the Israel and Syria, but instead went and did a deal with basically the enemy. And here's the key point. Isaiah the prophet warned him against ungodly alliances and told him to trust in the Lord for deliverance. Trust the Lord. It may not look right. The Assyrians have a way more powerful army. They're going to come and be strong, but trust God. Trust God. Don't go with the easy way out. We can apply that to our lives. Let's not go the easy way out, the back door, the shortcut option if we don't feel the Lord is in it. But let's make strategic partnerships and alliances that are God ordained, that the Lord leads you to. Because Isaiah 8:13, did I put it there? I did. Make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He is the one you should fear, not the Assyrians. He is the one who should make you tremble. God is the one that we need to be in cahoots with, not the enemy, not the easy option, not the way that he's not leading us. We've got to do the same thing and not partner with the Assyrians, with the most likely, in our mind, logical solution, because we think, well, that's the way we should go. No, we need to pray. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and we need to make strategic partnerships and alliances with those that God leads us to. So if you're going through a difficult situation like this king, like everything's going challenging you and everything's going pear-shaped and life is difficult, get around people of God. Don't look for answers elsewhere other than with God. Because we don't follow our fears. We need to follow Jesus. I'm going to say it again. We shouldn't follow our fears. So often we do. How can I, in our own minds, how can I overcome this? What can I put in place? No, we need to just follow Jesus. If you're in a difficult situation, the first thing we've got to do is get on our knees. God, help me. I need your wisdom, Holy Spirit. Speak to me. Rather than Googling for an answer. Rather than running to someone who we know who might be able to help. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things get added to you. We don't follow our fears. We follow Jesus. We don't succumb and give up. We don't just roll into a little ball in a fetal position and go, oh, whatever. We don't give up. We trust Jesus and his finished work. Why? Because it is a finished work. It is done. It's a done deal. I know who I want to partner with. The one who's already won. Why would I partner with anything else? Trust in Jesus, because Jesus, in trusting in him, we triumph over trials. Trust is not focused on what we see, but on what we know. How do we know? Because we read the Word of God. Read your Bible. That's where knowledge comes from. See, seeing isn't believing. That's what the world says. If you show me this, then I'll believe it. If I see it with my own eyes, then I might come along. But I would rather look at it this way. Believing is seeing. What do you believe in? Where is your faith? Because that will dictate to what you see. The atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. Do you come in expectancy, believing God to do something? Well, that's what you're going to see. Because believing will dictate to what you see, not the other way around. I see a future kitchen, don't you?
Yes.
We're already talking about having a day where we might just set up the kids' hall like a cafe anyway and serve some meals down there or whatever, just to show you what it's going to look like. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I see it already. Because God's put the vision in our hearts as a church to serve our community. And so it's not hard to envision. But the world would go, oh, well, show me the bank account with the money in it before you do that. Well, faith, hope. God is a provider of all things. He's going to give us favor. What's going to take years is going to take months. What we know is greater than what we see. Every time. You can't let what you see dictate to your theology, because if you do that, you're in trouble. That's a failure. Because you're going off what you see. What do you know? You might see someone who's sick, but what do you know? My God heals. And so out of that platform of strength, we're going to say, by his stripes, you are healed. Because I know that's what his promise is. Yeah, I'm not seeing it in your body being exemplified right now, but it's not going to dictate to what I know. And I know that my God heals. That's the attitude we've got to have. I believe that Jesus has made a way for me. I believe that God is working all things for my good. That's what we know because of what the Word of God says. I believe that no weapon that is formed against me will prosper. Do you believe that? That's what you're going to see. Does that mean trouble isn't going to come? No, trouble will come, but no weapon formed against me will prosper. So you might be here for a little while, but Jesus has overcome the world. And so it's going to be defeated in God's timing, in Jesus' name. Because that's what I know. 1 Peter 3:14, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Don't worry. Man, worry just grips the world. Worry and anxiety and stress about what might not even happen. But the Word of God says don't worry. And it encourages us because worship is our response. Verse 15, instead you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. That's what we've got to do. So instead of worrying, instead of being concerned about the difficult time that's happening, just worship. It was so cool to sing As the Deer before Helen came, because what did we do first? We worshipped. You know, and some of us in the room, obviously family and friends affected much more than maybe others, but we're all affected. She was part of our church. We loved her dearly. But how good was it to worship and just go, God, my soul longs after you right now. We need you. And then we had words of remembrance, and I think that's cool. But worship's got to be our response to a difficult time. Let me tell you why. Worship is our response because Jesus is the Lord of our life. What you worship is what is the Lord of your life. So for some people, maybe you watch a lot of Netflix and chill, I don't know. Maybe you are on your phone scrolling a lot. Reels and things. I don't know, all these things I'm learning from my daughter. Maybe you're caught up in all of that stuff. Well, you're making that your Lord if that gets most of your time. Who has a phone that tells them how much screen time they've had? Nervous. Jesus. What you put time to is what you worship. You've got to worship the Lord. If you're going through a difficult time, you're not going to find solace and peace in endless reels of people doing funny dances. Did you film that to make it viral? No, she's too busy. I'm paying attention. We've got to worship the Lord. Jesus is in control, after all. If he's the Lord of your life, he's in control. Yes? Even in the difficult times, is he still steering the boat? Yes, Jesus is in control. What is your dominant focus? Is it Jesus? I just want to encourage you. I'm not trying to slap you around today. I just want to encourage you that if you're going through a difficult season, your answer is Jesus. It's not me. It's not your pastor from wherever you're from. It's Jesus. And your pastor will certainly help you. That's what we're here for. But we're not the answer. We can just keep your attention focused on him. The dominant focus of your life is what gets your attention. And what gets your attention will either strengthen you or drain you. If it's Jesus, you're going to be strengthened. If it's other stuff, it's just going to drain from you. It just takes from you. Worship causes you to refocus on the eternal, not the temporal. See, the stuff on the phone and the whatever, it's just temporal. It's not adding any value to you. You might laugh a bit. You might relax a bit. And you know, I'm not saying those things are evil and you should never do them. You know, you get some relaxation out of it, but don't let it be your number one focus, your go-to, like, everything's difficult, quick, turn on TikTok. You get what I'm saying? When we worship, we focus on the eternal. For God so loved the world, Helen shared it. He gave his only son, whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal, everlasting life. That's what we should be focusing on, not necessarily the temporal. Problems are not eternal, but God is. Your problem is not going to last forever. Your difficult season and challenge that you're in right now, it will not last forever. But God is. God lasts forever. He's outside of time. Worshipping Jesus is not denial either. It's not like, oh, I'm not here, I'm not here, I'm not looking at what's going on. He locks himself in the closet. It's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. Worshipping Jesus is not denial, but you know what it is? It's declaration. It's saying, you know what, I'm in the midst of this challenge and everything's coming at me and man, I feel depressed. But God is faithful and he's going to lift me up and encourage me. Give me what I need. It's a declaration. We declare no matter what, Jesus is still preeminent in all things. So even this difficult valley I'm in now, God's going to lift me to the mountaintop. We can believe that we will see good days. I know when you're in a bad season and bad stuff's happened, we've been there, and it feels like it's just hit after hit, and you feel like you're going to be stuck there forever, but I promise you, you're not. Worship keeps you from speaking evil. When you worship Jesus, you can't speak French. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can't speak bad words. French isn't bad. You know what I mean? You follow. When your response is one of hope, you're going to get asked questions. Why are you happy when things are so rough? And when people see you worship instead of worry, they're going to ask, how can you still be in church, like to the friends and family, Lauren and Paul today? You know, you've lost a precious member of your family. How could you possibly go to church? The world don't get it. I mean, we're here to wrap our arms of love around you and support you, and even if you're not part of our church and you're here because of Lauren and Paul, we love you today. There's going to be extra hugs from people, I'm sure, and people just looking out for you and asking how you are, and we're here for you. That's what church is. But the world don't get it. When people see you worship instead of worry, they're going to ask. What a great opportunity that is when they ask. Because then we got to walk it out. I'm going to bring this to a close very quickly. Verse 16 and 17 of 1 Peter chapter 3. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. So when you share, do it gently, do it respectfully. Don't be the Bible basher on the street saying, repent or learn, and you're on your box. Because then the mob will come and destroy you. But do it in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed, not you. They will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. Keep your conscience clear. Don't attack people that don't want to come along the faith journey with us. Just love them. If they want to choose to go another way, that's not your fault. So you don't have to take it personally. Problem is, a lot of Christians do. And then that's where the term Bible basher comes, and they just keep at them and at them, and it turns them further and further away. It's not a good strategy. If someone's not interested, you just leave them. God bless your brother, God bless your sister, and I'll be praying for them. And they'll be like, they can't stop you. But your conscience will be clear. Because you haven't attacked them, you haven't admonished them, you haven't been mean or nasty, you haven't rammed the Bible down their throat. You've just let them know, hey, you asked me, why am I so happy in a bad time? Well, this is why, because Jesus is my Lord. And I'd love to tell you about him one day if you're open. Leave it at that. This is not towards God, but towards others. Keeping a clear conscience, it's towards others that we want to be blameless. You know, I've made things right with others, so there's nothing between us. Like, if you have a disagreement, make things right. If they don't forgive you, that's on them. You just walk away, clean conscience. Sort it out. But don't ever let anyone have anything to hang dirt on you. That's your character and your morals and your. Don't ever leave it that someone can hang something on you that you've done before. Always deal with it and move on. If they don't move on, that's their issue. But they have to deal with. But live a life that brings glory and honor to Jesus. Your life is lived under God's grace, which brings honor to Jesus. So when you do walk away, even though that frustrated person that doesn't want to forgive you is angry, it sends a message. Because eventually they're going to go, hey, they just walked away and they're all good and I'm still, destroy that person. You know? So what's going on with them that's not going on with me? And then they might ask questions. Remember, if you suffer, God will provide reward for you. Let it be for something good, not for something wrong that you've done. Suffer for doing good, that's okay. But not for something wrong that you've done. In life, and I'm going to throw to a video in just a second. In life, the rain falls, the floods come, the winds of trouble will blow against your house. But your house can stand when its foundations are built on a solid ground. And we can find solid ground when we lean in on the name of Jesus. Says we build our house on a firm foundation. We build our house on solid ground. And we know that solid ground has a name, but its name is Jesus. So Anita's already asked people today to bring Jesus into their heart, accept him as Lord, and make him your Lord and Savior. And that's so good. Well done to people that raised their hands and made that choice today. But what I want to do as I come to a close is very simple. If you're going through a difficult time, whatever that is, I want you to just stand right now. And we're going to pray for you today. There's no shame in standing. You're in a church of people that love you and that want to pray for you as we close. So if you're challenged in a difficult season, it can be anything. We want to pray God's favor on you. And I'm just going to give some time as people think about responding, because this isn't something I want to rush. People starting to stand up. It's good. This is just having being humble enough to say, yes, this is a difficult season. Yes, I want to see God bring me through and I want to open up my heart to just have the Holy Spirit touch me today to comfort me and bring me peace as I get there. So one more time, if you're in a difficult place, you're in a safe place now, and we just want to pray for you. Father God, you see the people standing and even people online maybe standing at home in response, not to me, but to you. And Lord, we've shared today the difficult seasons of life that we can go through. We all acknowledge challenging times, valleys, but we also know, as we've shared today in your word, all things work together for good for those that love you. So I firstly pray, first and foremost, for people standing that they would turn their hearts to you, that they would love on you in this season of challenge, that they would look to you for your provision, not the self-help videos or the YouTube videos of who's been through this before and helped me out. They're all great, but man, God, you are so much greater. So Lord, I just pray for every single person today that they would sense the power of your Holy Spirit touching their heart and reminding them that they have a firm foundation. It's called Jesus. And that you are going to lead them through this valley. Yo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Goodness and mercy are following me and hunting me down as I go through that valley. And then they're going to lead me to that mountaintop again. So, Lord, I pray for those going through difficult times, Lord, that you would provide, that you would sustain, that you would give what is needed, and that you would encourage and be the lifter of our head as we go through this season, knowing with great assurance that this is not our portion for life, that this is just a little blimp in time, and that, God, you are going to lead us through this difficult season into a place where we're rejoicing at the goodness of our good, good Father. So, Lord, we look forward to that day, for the testimonies to come of your goodness, leading us through those difficult seasons back to that mountaintop. And I pray that right now in the precious name of Jesus, and together everyone said, amen. Can we thank God for just being a sustaining, good, good Father, just giving praise.